So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we just connect with what we shared previously about Abraham. And we read from Isaiah chapter 51. And we were looking at when God directs us back to Abraham. You know, when he says Isaiah 51 verse 1, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you are hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you are dug." And then he says, "Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him." So one of the things that stood out for us is that there was a blessing of increase and there was a blessing from God, but it came after two aspects that are described of Abraham. Number one is you who follow after righteousness. Now, righteousness that Abraham received was by faith. Remember, it was not a righteousness that he worked for. The Bible tells us Abraham believed God. He went out, he was told, "Go out and look at the stars. If you can count and see how many there will be, so will your descendants be." And the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. That means, you know, when someone says they have credited your account, they have given you an allocation. Money has entered your account. It is a credit. So in his God account, in his account in heaven, or in his spiritual account, what was given to him was righteousness on the basis of his belief in God. And that's why we say when we have received the righteousness that is of God, that is by faith from first to last, that is not by works, lest any man may boast. We receive a righteousness that enables us to access God, that gives us right standing before God. And when you have a right standing before God, then you are not afraid of anything. You know, right standing comes in form of credit, and it comes by faith. That means you are declared right before God, and then you can live right. You know, it is impossible to live right until you are declared righteous before God. When the Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that means the moment you come into Christ Jesus, God credits a righteousness to your account that now enables you to live right. And the Bible says now the grace you have received, it teaches you to say no to ungodliness and unrighteous living so that you can live self-controlled and upright lives in this present age. That means there is the Spirit of God within you. Who is your teacher? Who is the anointing by whom you will know all things, and by whom, if you spend time with him, he will teach you? As I keep encouraging you to, you know, to find time to just meditate on the word of God, to ask God questions in your spirit. Even you can be sitting and you start asking God questions in your heart. That is communion with the Spirit. That is fellowship with the Spirit. So there is a first aspect, which is, you know, which is righteousness. But then there's a second aspect that stands out here, which is you who seek the Lord. Now, that tells you that Abraham was a seeker of God. One, he followed after righteousness, after right standing with God. He wanted to obey God. That's when God told him to leave his father and his mother and his their land, their country, and to go to a land that I will show him. He followed, you know, he obeyed, and he was following after righteousness. But then he says, "You who seek the Lord your God." So there is a seeking of God that we see in the life of Abraham, that we see from time and time again. He was a man who raised altars. Everywhere Abraham landed, he will raise an altar. He will raise an altar. He will raise an altar. He gets to this place, he raises an altar to the Lord who appeared before him. And the Lord appears before him and speaks to him, you know, and tells him, "I am your shield, your great reward. You know, I will bless you. From, you know, people will follow after you." And one of the beauties of God is that God even visits him. And today I wanted us to just look at this aspect of seeking. But not only just to look at it from the perspective of Abraham seeking God, but also from the recognition that God gives to Abraham as a prophet. You know, the word prophet is first used for Abraham. And it is God who introduces the name prophet to Abraham. So let's look at Genesis chapter 20. And we see this encounter of Abraham and Abimelech, and we see where God recognizes Abraham as a prophet. And Genesis chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Abram journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarah, of his wife, 'She is my sister.' And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, 'Indeed, you are a dead man, because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife.'" Can you imagine? This is a king. Abram and his wife have come into his land. Abram is scared. He decides to say, this is my sister. Of course he lies, because he is afraid of his life. But then when Abimelech, and you know, kings in that time will take any woman, you know, if there's a woman who's beautiful and is told by the people is beautiful, he can take her as his wife. And they have them, you know, in the various harems where the king's wives will stay, and then they are called when needed, you know. So, but God approaches, comes to Abimelech, the king, in the dream, and says to him, "Indeed, you are a dead man." Can you imagine God telling you, you are dead? It's like when Adam and Eve were told, "The day you shall eat this, you shall surely die." Now, God tells him, "Indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." Look at how God is so concerned about his prophets that he would not want the prophet's wife to be defiled, the man of God's wife to be defiled. And verse 4 it says, "But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, 'Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And she, even she herself, said, he is my brother.'" And then he says, "In integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this." So the man, for sure, the man was innocent. But you see, at times ignorance, you know, does not abdicate us of responsibility. And he was still judged by God. But then you can see the grace of God. You know, at times people say you can't see the grace of God in the Old Testament, but you can see it in so many places. Look at how God answers him. Verse 6, "And God said to him in a dream, 'Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her." Look at how God even is concerned about this king. He knows the man was out of integrity of his heart and innocence of his hands. And he says, "I know that. And because of this, I withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her." And then verse 7, he says, "Now therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet." You know, the word prophet there is Nabi, is someone who receives messages from God and speaks them out. So a prophet, you know, nowadays we think of prophets as only those people who can read numbers, who can tell you 1, 2, 3, your account number, the clothes you had put on, you know, the boxer and all those things. No, that many times can easily be by the work of divination, the spirit of divination. Yes, God can reveal things, and that gift is called the word of knowledge, where God is able to reveal things, specific things about you through his prophet that is necessary for redemption. So you must always ask, what does, you know, whatever it is that is being revealed, what does it contribute to redemption? What does it contribute to me drawing closer to God, or just for me to saying, oh, this prophet is deep. This is a deep man of God. If the end result of that prophecy is honoring and glorifying the man, then we have missed it. But the end result of every prophecy must to be draw us closer to God, because the prophet is the mouthpiece of God. He must speak the words of God, must declare the truth of God. So you can see the first time that the word prophet in the Old Testament, in the entire Bible, is used is by God and refers to Abraham. And he says, "Now therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet." Remember, we're told look to your father Abraham. You who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to your father Abraham. Look to your mother Sarah who bore you. I called him alone. I blessed him and increased him. But what are the things that resulted in that increase? That covenant of fruitfulness that God gave. We can see there was an aspect of Abraham that he was one that sought the Lord. He was a prophet. That means he would hear from God. And he will be a mouthpiece for God. He will speak for God. And you can see how God refers to him. This man is a prophet. Verse 7, Genesis 20. Now therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. Look at how the prophet, when the prophet is mentioned, the next thing that is mentioned is prayer. So the prophet, he will pray for you, and you shall live. That means he is going to be an intercessor on your behalf. He stands in the gap just the way Jesus stands in the gap for us. Intercession. You see, you're being told that, okay, fine, yes, you did not do this. But for you to live, you must restore the man's wife and then ask him to pray for you. And he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So the judgment of Abimelech was serious. It is about death, not only to you, but everything that is yours will die. If you do not restore, know for sure that you shall surely die. So God says, now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you. He will stand in the gap for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know for certain that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. Verse 8, the Bible says, so Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told all these things in their hearing, and the men were very much afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? Have I offended you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done. Then Abimelech said to Abram, what did you have in view that you have done this thing? Verse 11, and Abram said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. But indeed, she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, this is your kindness that you should do for me. In every place where we go, say of me, he is my brother. Then verse 14, then Abimelech took sheep, oxen, and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham, and he restored Sarah his wife to him. And Abimelech said, see, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. Then to Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody. Thus she was rebuked. So Abram prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children, for the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Look at such a judgment that was brought over a nation. He said that when now Abraham prayed to God and God healed. So we can see those who seek after righteousness, those who seek unto God, you can see the protection of God, that God intervenes over their life. God fights for them. You know, there are battles that God will fight for you. There are things that it looks stuck, but you see, when God enters into the situation, I tell you, it is stuck. It is caught. God can blind eyes of people. God can break through for you. You know, there are moments you can pass by even a place where it looked like it was impossible for you, and God just makes a way for you. Why? Because he is God. You are his servants. You see, when God says in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, that surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, his secrets to his servants, the prophets. That means that there is a thing about God that when he has found someone who he considers a prophet, someone who has learned the way, place of prayer, you know, when God says that I have given him, you know, a tongue of the learned, I wake him up and whisper to his ear morning after morning. You know, Isaiah 50 verse 4 onwards, you can read that God gives you a tongue of the learned to know a word in season, you know, how to sustain the weary. That means that before he gives you that word, there is a way that he wakes you up and speaks to you. That is the aspect of the prophetic, that God desires to speak to his children. God desires that your ears, your spiritual ear, be open. Remember, you know, when we think about, you know, senses, as in the body we have physical senses, also our spirit man, our inner man, has spiritual senses. We have the eye, the spiritual eye, to see things in the spirit by which we can see. You know, when God says that, you know, except a man be born again, he cannot see. That means there is a sight. Then there is also an ear, the spiritual ear. That's why the Bible says, if anyone hears my voice, let him not harden my heart. That means your inner man will have an ear to hear what God is speaking. And so, and these are things that are natural. You know, there are things that you don't teach a bird how to fly because it is available. It is something that is inbuilt in the bird. Likewise for us, our spiritual man that is made alive is enabled to hear God. And the more we pray, the more we open up ourselves to seek him, then God starts to make his voice so clear to us. Have you ever asked yourself, how did Abraham know that it was God speaking when he was about to offer a sacrifice of his son? And God says, stop, do not kill that child. You know, at times you wonder, maybe he would have thought, that is an evil spirit trying to confuse me from the work God has told me to do. No, but he knew the voice of God. We must know the voice of our Maker. When Jesus said, John 17, 29, that my sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. They hear my voice and they follow me. Do we hear the voice of our Father? Do we hear the voice of our Father and follow him? Do we know his voice? So we can see Abraham, God calls him, this man is a prophet. Go back to him. He shall pray for you and you shall be healed. And you can see the healing that comes to the house of Abimelech. That immediately Abraham prays over him, God heals Abimelech. He heals his wife. He heals all the women. He heals all the animals. Because God had closed up their wombs and they were restored and they gave birth. Now, what other thing that makes us see how, you know, God and Abraham were dealing together? We can see the aspect of intercession. And if you can just some two chapters before that, Genesis 18, we can see when God stands with Abraham, you know, the three men come to visit Abraham and Abraham prepares for them food. And then immediately they tell Sarah, you know what, by this time next year, you shall have a child. And then Sarah laughs and then he says, but why did you laugh? He said, no, I did not laugh. And God says, you laughed. Okay, fine. Then the three men stand up and start to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. But then two men go, but the Bible tells us that Abraham stood before the Lord. And maybe let's just read the Genesis 18, verse 16. The Bible says, then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. If not, I will know. So one of the things that you see is that God already starts to debate with himself that, I cannot hide this from Abraham. You see, when God has seen you as his prophet, as his servant, then there are things that he will not hide from you. There are things that God wants to do on the earth, and it's like he's itching. Where are my servants? I need to show them these things. I need to reveal to them these secrets. There are secrets that God wants to reveal to you, that it is just for you and you alone. There are things he might reveal about people. He wants you to pray and intercede for them. When he's shown you someone that is unwell, pray for that person. Find out what is it. Pray for them. Pray for them. Intercede. And you will see the victory of the Lord. That which God has revealed is because he knows the solution is available. The solution is available, and God wants to release the solution over their lives. So you can see God already says he will not hide. And immediately he starts to tell Abraham, see, I am going to Sodom and Gomorrah. I need to hear what it is that they are doing. What is the situation? Because the outcry has come against me. Then verse 22, the Bible says, then the man turned away from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. There was something about Abraham that makes him a prophet, is that he stood before the Lord. Remember what Elijah said, before whom I stand, I declare that there shall be no rain. There is a standing before the Lord. And you can see Abraham stands before the Lord. And then he starts to commune with God. He stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, will you destroy also the righteous and the wicked? And then he asked, suppose there were 50 righteous people in the city, will you also destroy the place and spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? So you can see the place of intercession. I tell you, my brother, my sister, when God has called you to a place of prayer, it gets to a point where your needs are not even important. God starts to show you needs and needs and needs that you need to intercede for, that you need to pray for. Praying for the church, praying for the workplace, praying for your family, praying for your relatives, praying for your friends, praying for people you don't even know, praying for the nations, praying for the countries, you know, for the world. Because why? It is a place of intercession. It is a place of the prophetic. And as you stand before God, even when you're not focused on your need, God is focused on you. There is no harm that shall come near your home. Nothing shall come near your dwelling. Yes, men may want to cheat on you, but their judgment will fall on them. There is a terror that God places on the enemies of his servants to preserve him. It is necessary for us to see, when we are told, look to your father Abraham and to your mother Sarah who bore you. Look, I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. There is a pattern of life that starts with that credit of righteousness that is given, that enabler, and then the journey of walking blameless before God. Let us be available to stand before God. Let us be found in the place of prayer. Let us be found in the place of intercession, alone or with others. It's a commitment that you make for yourself. Yes, you're with others, it's a benefit, but more importantly, can you stand in the gap? Be there, stand in the gap, stay in the gap, stay in that place of intercession. Learn to commune with God. There are things that you will learn. It is even better at times to be alone. You can commune with God better. He can speak better. But learn to enjoy the presence of God. And the secrets will start to flow. There are things you will start to understand. Of course, it starts with God teaching you the scriptures. Then later on, he'll now start showing you things that are even beyond the scriptures. Why? Because you have known his voice. You know how his voice hears and sounds like. And you know his voice from the scripture. Actually, the more you study the scripture, the more you're able to isolate the voice of God from the noises around you. I'll stop here, and I pray that God gives us insight into this, my brother. You're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Mark. Yeah, indeed, Abraham's story is always one that amazes me. Looking from the historic perspective, where he was and how God picked him from where he was and used him. And I think it's also the aspect of trust.
Yeah.
That when God called him, Abraham gave his all trust to God. That if even when God asked him one of the most difficult things of sacrificing his son, he did not hesitate. He did that as God requested. You see that even in the fact that he lied that his wife was his sister.
Yeah.
He trusted God.
Hmm.
There is no man who would do such a thing knowing that his wife will end up in another man's bed.
Hmm.
And there's no wife who would ever forgive their husband for, you know, sacrificing them in such a way.
Yeah.
You know, today's women, they would call you a cowardly man and you'll be abandoned there and then.
True.
But you see that the aspect of trust was there. Abraham knew that God would come through. And then the other thing, Sarah also believed and trusted in the God the husband was following. You know, because Sarah also knew that I believe in what my husband is telling me because he serves a living God.
Hmm.
So it is very important. Because sometimes God will ask us of the impossible.
Yeah.
God will ask us to do things that we will question whether indeed this is coming from God. But the key thing is trusting. And when you say that hearing and knowing that this is the voice of God is also important, because if you do not know that this is the voice of God, you may, you know, also struggle with your trust.
Yeah.
You hear people say, God has said this to me, then you, you know, there are certain voices that, of course, tells you to do certain things. I remember an Apostle Grace was saying, imagine a voice is telling you that your husband, so-and-so is your husband, and you know very well that the man is married. Huh? Is that a voice coming from God?
No.
Yeah, understand. So I think it's sometimes also just we need to understand that, because sometimes also place our trust in misguided voices. You know, if a prophet comes and tells you how your life is ending in the next days or what, without offering any solution, without it, just says it is done. It's important to, yes, indeed, understand and know the voice of God. And that builds the trust that we have. Trusting God in all. Because if he has called you, the Bible says that all things are the good of those that he has called. So you just follow, you just trust, and all will be well. So, yes, thanks. Sir.
Yes.
It's sure. Just a small addition on the part there.
It's very clear. Thank you for that. Maybe just pray for us and then as we conclude here. Go ahead.
Lord God Father, we want to thank you for this moment that you have blessed us with your presence this morning. We're grateful, Lord, O King of Glory, for the gift of a new day. We're grateful for the gift of a new week. We commit the day and the week into your hand, and we pray, Lord, O King of Glory, that you bless our going out and coming in. Thank you for your word, O King of Glory. We learn from Abraham that you chose him, you called him, you purposed him, O God, to live by your ways, to live the righteous way, to trust and believe in all your guidance, O King of Glory. We plead your mercy this morning. We plead your grace. We plead, Lord, O King of Glory, that you grant us the same understanding that Abraham had, O King Almighty Father. Grant us the knowledge and the wisdom to discern the voice that comes from you and that comes from the enemy. Grant us the strength and the faith to believe and trust in your words and in your calling, O King of Glory. We commit ourselves into your hand this morning, O King of Glory, and offer ourselves, O King of Glory, to be used for the purpose of which you created each one of us, O God, to fulfill in this world, O King of Glory. Pray, Almighty God, that you guide our thoughts, our actions, that even as we go about the day, Lord, O King of Glory, in all that we do will be for the glorification of your kingdom. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless. Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you.